Good morning and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are on Nivomo Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph in the middle of the Sugya of Lotit Godudu. And the main focus of our inquiry today is going to be a continuation of the discussion from the previous Shiur about whether or not Beit Shammai maintained their position about Sarat Erva in practice, or did it remain just theoretical? We are near the bottom of the page, Toshma. Now, in the end of the Mishnah said that even though they had different positions on the Sarat Erva, they would still marry each other. Now, if Beit Shammai really in practice didn't do what their position was, then I understand why they could intermarry, because everybody was kosher according to some standard. But if you claim that Beit Shammai maintained their position in practice, why should they not have married with each other? Because according to each one's position, the other one was a chiv karet or as a mamzer or whatever. So now we're going to look at the details. I can understand why Beit Shammai were not hesitant to take the women that Beit Hillel had allowed, because what did Beit Hillel do? They said women do not need chalitza if they're tzarat erva. Why? Now, we assume here that what we're talking about is that they didn't hesitate marrying the offspring of such women. So what do we have? We have a woman who is asur belav to marry somebody else without chalitza, and therefore the child is not a mamzer. The child is simply the result of a lav, so they didn't mind marrying them. But Beit Hillel should certainly have protested marrying one of Beit Shammai's the children of one of Beit Shammai'ites, Tzarot Erva, because Bnei Chayv Yekritu Mamzerim Ninu. Because after all, if there is a Chiyuv Karet, not only with the Erva, but with the Tzarat Erva, and then one of the brothers marries her, as Beit Shammai maintains she should, then according to Beit Hillel, you have Eshet Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, that is a Chiyuv Karet, and therefore the child is a Mamzer. So why would Beit Hillel be agreeable to allow their students to marry such people? And if you want to maintain that perhaps Beit Hillel took the most lenient position, that of Rabbi Yeshua, it says the only relationship that creates mamzerut is chiyuv mitat beitin, and we'll get to enough mem tet. The Amar of Balazov, Bishnach, Lubet, Shom, Beit Hillel, Beit Sarot, Modim, Shein, Mamzer, Misha, Yisuro, Yisuro, Erwin, Nosh, Karet. Right? That, we have a statement of Rabbi Lazar, which we'll revisit, where he says that Beit Shammai and Hillel agree on this point, that mamzer comes from chiyuv karet. The answer is, that must mean that Beit Shammai really did not maintain their position. That's why Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai were equally comfortable marrying people from the other school, because they all abided by Beit Hillel's standard. Look, Leolam Asu. Let's go back to the position which is more radical, but more reasonable in the Mishnah, which is that Beit Shammai maintained their position. And that, of course, is the Chiddush of saying, nonetheless, they married each other. And the answer is Demodi Lahu Parshi. What happened is Beit Shammai and Hillel would allow their students would marry children of relationships that were from the other school. What happened is they had enough respect for the other to let them know and say, you should know that child is the result of a tzarat erva, that according to us is fine, but according to you isn't. And they would stay away. Achinam Mistabrin makes sense that that's the position. Why? Tiktani Seifa Kolat Arod V'Cholat Tmeyot Shayu Eilu Mitarin Ve'Eilu Mitam. In the end of the Mishnah, gave the second report, that not only Legabe Tzarat Erva, but also Legabe Tumah V'Tahara, even though Beit Shammai and Hillel had different positions on it, they said, Lo Ninu Mosin Tarot Elu Agabe Elu. They would still do the work of Tahara together. So, Iyamar Pishtam Ad-Modi Luhu, if I understand if Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel would notify each other and say, that piece of bread was worked with a situation that according to you was Tameh, that's why they were able to work together, because they trusted that if there was something that one held okay and the other held not okay, they would let them know. But if you say that they didn't let them know, so I understand that Beit Shammai would not mind using Beit Hillel's stuff. By the way, in the issues of Tumah V'Tahara, Beit Hillel is generally more machmir. It's mailed to Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai Tahara, because after all, the things of that Beit Shammai, that Beit Hillel considers to be, that Beit Hillel considers to be Tmeot are Tahor LeBeit Shammai. And LeBeit Hillel, Beit Shammai, Lama LeNimnu, but Beit Hillel should have been very hesitant to use Beit Shammai stuff. Why? The Torah to Beit Shammai, the Beit Hillel to because the things that Beit Shammai considers Tahor, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel is more stringent and considers Tameh. So it must be, you have to posit one of two things. Either in practice they didn't maintain their own positions and they accepted one unified position, or else that they would let each other know, because it's not likely that they would use something that, according to their own position, was illegal, was inappropriate. So Shmamina. So Allah of the Modilahu, Shmamina. So it must be the case that they would tell each other, this is from a circumstance that according to you is no good, stay away. And that's why they're able to use each other's things, because the default was that it was okay. Now, here's a technical question. Why are you bringing a bigger proof from the second clause in the Mishnah about the Tarot than from the Tzarot? In other words, to say, we have the case of the Tzarot and we don't know what to do. We say, it probably is likely that they did let them know. And how we know that? From the Tumah V'Tahara. Why is the Tumah V'Tahara any better of a proof? The answer is, Ma'u detayim atzara kol ha'idla, kamash malan. I would have reason to think that when it came to a tzara, maybe they didn't let them know. And the assumption was, everybody knows the situation. Somebody dies and he has his own daughter fall to him. It's such an unusual case. And the other women, everybody knows who they are. So there would be no need for them to tell them. The Tumah V'Tahara, if things are done privately in a kitchen, you'd have to let people know. Therefore, it's showing us that in all of these cases, they would formally issue a declaration saying, this child is the result of a situation that according to you is no good. Now let's get back to that statement we just saw. Gufa. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Alfi shenachlaku beit shan beit hillel betzarot modim she'in mamzer alamisha isuro isur erva ve'enosh karet. Now, the wording here of Rabbi Elazar is very strange. He said, even though beit shan beit hillel disagreed about tzarot, nonetheless, they agree. They agree that Mamzer is only from Chiyuv Karet. Who are they agreeing to? In other words, which one of them held a different position that they're acceding? Man Modim. Who is it being Moda? Either Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. Do you think Beit Shammai is now acceding to Beit Hillel? So Pshita B'nei Chayav Ilavin Ksherim Ninu. So it's obvious that Beit Shammai is not going to say that the results of Yevam Alachutz are mamzerim. Clearly, they're ksherim. Elevate Hillel Beit Shammai. Must be Beit Hillel being motivated by owner Beit Shammai. He said, even though it's Tzara Erva, nonetheless, it's not a karet. So he gufa chayiv chavikrituti. What do you mean? That's exactly the situation that we're talking about. Is that Tzara Erva is a chayiv karet because she's eshet achshel of makom mitzvah. So the owner Beit Shammai, the Beit Hillel. It's Beit Shammai agreeing to Beit Hillel and saying, we agree with you that it's not chayav karet. It's not a mamzer. What they're really trying to do is just say that we don't accept the position later expressed by Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva had the position that if any relationship that is a lav, and perhaps even more than that, the result of that relationship, but again, it's a sugyan memtet, and the result of that relationship is a mamzer. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agreed that they do not accept that position, and therefore Beit Shammai said, even though we say that this girl needs chalitza or can have yibum, that's sarat erva, if she doesn't, we will agree with you that the child that's only alive, and therefore the child is not a mamzer. That's why it's modi. Good. Now, here's a longer list. Even though they disagreed about sarot, that we had uva achayot, that's a sugi that we have later on. We already mentioned it. In the third parak, when two brothers are married to two sisters and the two brothers die, And so brothers number 3 and 4 only do chalitza on brother or sisters 1 and 2 because of achot zukukato. But Shammai disagrees and says if brother number 3 married one of the sisters, that's valid. Now they also disagree about get yashan. Get yashan is a question of which is really safek yeshet isha megarshet ishto lanim obapundiki. Right, safek yeshet isha is a different story, but get yashan and lanim obapundiki seem to be the same case, which is when somebody gives a get. And then subsequent to giving the get, the two of them stay together in a pundak, but Shammai and Beit Hillel disagree. It's a sugya in the 8th parak of Gittin about whether or not the get is now invalidated. They also disagreed about kesef, v'shava kesef, pruta, v'shava pruta, the first mission in Kiddushin. They disagreed about what the minimum amount of kesef Kiddushin is. Beit Shammai says it's a dinar. Beit Hillel says it's one pruta, which is a dinar, is 192 pruta. It's a huge difference. And therefore, according to Beit Hillel, if a man gives a girl 3 prutot, it says Rabbi Gudeshon, then she accepts it, and then she accepts Kiddushin for somebody else, the second Kiddushin are meaningless. According to Beit Shammai, they're meaningful because the first Kiddushin were nothing. So even though they had all these disagreements about Ishut, about marriage. Lo nimnu beit shammai v'lisan hashim beit hilev v'lam betilm beit shammai. So this is an expansion on our Mishnah. It says even though they had all these machlokot, nonetheless, they were not hesitant about marrying each other from each other's schools. To show you how much love and camaraderie they had, to fulfill the pasuk in Zechariah, ha'emet v'hashalom ehavu. You should love peace and truth. Truth and peace. Alright, now that's the Tanakhama, we think. Rabbi Shimon Omer nimne'u he min havadai. He has a different report. He says, you know what? Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai did not marry in each other's schools if it was a vadai case, a certain case, of something that according to their own school would be no good. For instance, according to Beit Hillel, if a girl was given 3 prutot, we know that she was given 3 prutot, she said, all right, we're good, Ashadli. And then the fellow gave her a get. Now, according to Beit Shammai, the get is meaningless. She's not a grusha. She was never married. And therefore, they would allow her to marry a Kohen. According to Beit Hillel, the Kiddushin were valid. Therefore, the get is valid. Therefore, she's a grusha. Right? So, according to Reb Shimon, they would not allow a case that was vadai. Velonim numen asafek. They were able to marry each other only if it was a case of a safek. Good. Now, let's see how that works out. Iyamar pishtamasu, if you maintain that in all of these cases, Beit Shammai maintained their own position. Shemachi nimnu. Now I understand why Reb Shimon reports that in the case of Vadai, they really didn't marry each other, because they really did have different standards. They are lo asu, amai nimnu. But if you're going to say that Beit Shammai really didn't practice anything different than Beit Hillel, so why would they avoid marrying each other even in the case of Vadai? After all, they have one standard, and it's Beit Hillel's. Batispara, wait, step back and think about it. Nihi nami de asu, you're going to tell me that in the case of asu, bishlama Beit Hillel nimnu Beit Shammai. I understand in the case of the Tzarot. I can understand why Beit Hillel would avoid marrying the Beit Shammaites, because after all, the Chavikritnu Ninu. Because according to Beit Hillel, this woman who's having Yibum with the guy, that's a Chiyuv Kari, because Eishet Achshel of Malka Mitzvah, and the kid's a Mamzer. So we're not going to let our students marry that girl. U'mamzerinim, leBeit Hillel. Ela Beit Shammai, my Nimnu Beit Hillel. But why would Beit Shammai even avoid marrying a girl who was the result of a Hillel situation, where he said these girls are free to go, which means that they married somebody else? Maximum b'nei chayav elavi ninu, uksherim ninu. After all, if a Yevama doesn't get chalitza, she marries somebody else, it's a lav. Lo tiyesh na mitachutza. And the result is not a mamzer. So why would Beit Shammai, even if they knew that was the case, resist marrying? He says, no, you're mistaken. We're not talking about the child of such a thing, we're talking about the girl herself. Because after all, even according to Beit Shammai, you're still not allowed to, according to Beit Shammai's position, you're not allowed to marry that girl outside if she hasn't had chalitza, and that's a lot. So, the same thing here. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon's report is that in any case of Vadai, Beit Shammai nor Beit Hillel would marry from the other school if they knew that the result, that this person was affected by a case that according to their position was no good, and that the reality of that was vadai. So let's look at this. According to the case that we just mentioned, if somebody knew for sure that this girl was a tzarat erva, and according to Beit Shammai she did yibum, then we say that Beit Hillel would not allow that girl to marry. All right, would not allow that girl to marry, right? Safek nami suru. But let's say that it was a safek. There's a safek erva one way or the other. Why would according to Rabbi Shimon, he says that they would allow to marry if it was a safek. So lo tam min safek ella imam min astam. So don't read Rabbi Shimon as saying that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were agreeable to marry from each other if it was a safek, because a safek is still a problem. Rather min astam. In other words, if there was nothing said. What, there was a girl getting married, and nobody from the one school said to the other, you should know that this girl has the following situation, and there was a default case, then they would agree. Why? Demodi lo parshi. Because, in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, Beit Shammai Hillel would not be agreeable to marry based on the other person's position. But they would respect each other to know that if they were allowed to marry somebody who, according to their own position, was illegal, was unacceptable, that the other school would tell them. And therefore, a default case that they didn't tell them, we assumed was good. Umay kamashman, so what's that teaching us? So if Rabbi Shimon is saying not safek, but rather stam, they would marry, that's teaching us to have a vareu, no gimes of azeh, that they had camaraderie and they treated each other nicely. So hainu reisha, that's already said in the first part of the braita that we thought was tanakama, So that comes to teach us that the entire Breita is Rabbi Shimon. So now look back at the Breita. I'll review this outside of the text. The entire Breita reads it as follows. Rabbi Shimon says, even though Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel had disagreements about all of these areas, they would be agreeable to marry each other because they had camaraderie and they knew that the other school would notify them. And therefore, if the school did not say this girl is the result of situation X, law Y, problem Z, then the other school would be able to marry them, and they knew that they could trust them. Good. Now, Toshma, the Amar of Yocham and Nuri. We've already seen this before. Hey, halacha zu ravacha b'Yisrael. Yocham and Nuri says, we got a problem here. Sarat erva is such a big machloket. Na'asekin Beit Shammai, havlad mamzer. If we follow Beit Shammai, then the result is that the kid is a mamzer, the divir Beit Hillel. And instead of the divir Beit Hillel, if we follow Beit Hillel and say that this girl does not need yibum or chalitza, Havlad Pagum the Rebbe Chamai. Chamai certainly agrees the kid's not ideal. It's the child will be the result of a Yivama without Chalitza marrying somebody else. So Bon Laken and the Tsarot, Shiyu Chotzot. Let's make a Takana. We saw this yesterday's podcast. Let's make a Takana that the Tsarat Erva does Chalitza just to cover our grounds. After all, Beit Chamai can't have a problem with doing Chalitza. He agrees to do Chalitza. Beit Hillel won't be bothered by it because Manoshach, either it's meaningless or else it's meaningful. But it's not harmful. The only thing that's harmful is she can't marry Cohen now. Right? Now, that was his suggestion. They didn't conclude the matter, and then suddenly the Beit Din couldn't convene. The Romans were coming for whatever reason. They couldn't finish the meeting. So Amarlo, said, so now what are we going to do with the Tzarot? And evidently it was a case that they came to us. What are we going to do with them? So now, so now that seems to support the idea that Beit Shammai really were maintaining their position. And therefore we have Tzarot here, who are kind of waiting to know what to do, and Beit Shammai is telling them to marry the brother, and Beit Hillel is telling them to marry out. So that must be that there is still this conflict. If Beit Shammai really aren't doing anything different than Beit Hillel, then what's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying? What should we do for these Tzarot? There's no question. After all, they're all following one standard. So this is where Nachman Yitzchak said the statement originally. Is that what we're talking now is not about the child, but rather about the Tzara herself. What does that mean? Here's what he's saying. Hanach Tzarot to Beit Hillel, leBeit Shammai echi navid lahu. These Tzarot from the Beit Hillel school, what should we do to make Beit Shammai feel better? Lechaltsu, if we tell them to make chalitza, so masu agavrayu, then suddenly they become like unappealing to their husbands. Their husbands feel like they really had zikah to somebody else, and then chalitza. Chetema limasan, if you want to say, heck with it, who cares if their husbands don't like them? We're just function to follow the law. The answer is darchei darcheinom v'chol nitivot ha'shalom. The pasuk mishle are very important. Ways of Torah peace, we can't initiate a law that's going to cause friction in the house. That's what it meant. So in other words, it's still possible that lo asu, but we're asking, these tzarot right now are in front of us, what are we going to do for the tzarot that come from Beit Hillel? How are Beit Shammai going to be comfortable with it? If we say give them chalitza, which Beit Shammai says you don't have to do, you could have yibum, then their husbands, who they then marry, are going to feel like, like as according to Beit Hillel, they wouldn't have to get ready. I got a widow, but I got chalitza, there was a zika there. So we don't want to do that. So that's why he asked the question, ma naaseh. Good. Toshma, dharma bitarfum. Now we have a series of statements about two Tanaim and then one Amora, the different things that they did. Several stories here. About Tanaim who expressed interest in this case. Rabbi Tarfon said, Ta'avani matai tavot sarata bat liyadiva esa'ena. Rabbi Tarfon, who was a Talmud of Beit Shammai, said, I can't wait until a sarata bat, meaning I can't wait till a situation where a sarata erva falls to me and I'll marry her. Because he really wanted to make the point that sarata erva is omenet liyibum. So that means, seems to say, Beit Shammai maintained the position. No, Amava Asiena. Don't read Esaena, I will marry her, but rather I'll marry her off. In other words, I want to show how devoted we are to you to accepting Beit Hillel's position. I can't wait till a Tzarat Era falls and comes to my Beit Din so that I can marry her off to somebody else. Vata Vanika Amar. Why did he say I desire this? Afukin over Yochanan Nuri, because he's trying to demonstrate opposition from Yochanan Nuri's case that says we're not even going to give chalitza to them. We're going to accept Beit Hillel all the way down, even though I'm from Beit Shammai, and that means that the girl needs nothing, not chalitza, not yibum, not gornish, and she can marry somebody else. Good. Next. Ta toshma masa vitoshma Gamliel shaitan nesua la Abba achiv. Gamliel had a brother named Abba. And when Gamliel's brother, Abba, married his own daughter, Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, umet below banim. Abba died without children. V'yibim Gamliel tzarata. Rabbi Gamliel then did yibum on the other wife, tzarat erva. How could such a thing happen? And after Rabbi Gamliel's direct descendant of Hillel, certainly from Beit Hillel. So Rabbi Gamliel was on the Shammai Hill. So he could have been from Beit Shammai. Alashanami daughter Rabbi Gamliel da ilonit havai. Aha. Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was an ilonit. And so therefore, when the husband died, the other wives fell, she's not even considered a wife, and therefore he did yibum. Well, you can't say she was an ilonit, because I'm in Tani Seifa, Chermomim, Bitosh Gamliel, ilonit taita, because others suggest that Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was an ilonit, that means Tanakama does not accept that explanation. The answer is, hikir ba velo hikir ba ikir binayu. They were cholik about the issue about if a husband recognizes that his wife is an ilonit and stays married to her, does that make her a wife and therefore part of the group and therefore she's poter the tsarot, or does it not? Another way to look at it is, if you recall, we had this in a couple days ago in the shiur about the question about whether the guy marries the tsara before he divorces the erva, whether or not, and then after divorce the erva, when the tsara falls, is she now in the Yibum camp, or is she still out because at one time she was a co-wife with the Arab? So that could be the problem. In other words, that Abba divorced the Rav Gamliel's daughter, but before that he had already married the Tzara. The question is, does that affect? Baitema yesh tonai bebiya, or some people could say that you could say that the disagreement between Tanakama and the Acherim is whether or not yesh tonai bebiya, meaning if a guy takes a wife and puts a stipulation, as long as she doesn't have mumim or some other blemish, but goes and consummates the marriage, does that help? Or does that say that he's accepted all of the conditions, and that say, good, the fact that she's an ilonit doesn't make a difference? Good. Masav Rav Akiva, he's trying to challenge the notion that lo asu. Masav Rav Akiva, we have this in Rosh Hashanah, shaliket etrog be'echa b'shvat v'nog bo b'shnei yisurin. Remember, there's a machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai about when the Rosh Hashanah le'ilan is. Is it echa b'shvat or tu b'shvat? Which means that if in the middle, between the second and third year, or between the fifth and sixth year, you harvest something from a tree between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat, well, according to Beit Hillel, it doesn't belong to the next year yet, so the Masorot go by the past year. For Beit Shammai, it's already part of the new year, so which Masorot would you give? What did Rabbi Akiva do? You can't talk about Chodesh Shvat, not go Shnei Yisurin. Echad kedivrei Beit Shammai, echad kedivrei Beit Hillel. Shmamina, so Rabbi Akiva, 400 years after Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, is still concerned with both opinions and took both Maasrot. So the answer is Rabbi Akiva, Gemara Yistapi Klevi. Rabbi Akiva was not concerned about Beit Shammai's opinion, but rather, Veloyada Beit Hillel, Be'echa Mishvat Amor, Betu Mishvat Amor. He just simply forgot who held which position. He said, I know I have to paskin like Beit Hillel, I just don't know whether they say Echa Mishvat or Tu Mishvat, so I'll cover my bases. No, Meiti Razutra. Masa v'yalda kalato shal Shammai Azaka in the famous Sugi and Sukkah. Picha de maziva v'sichecha alwe mitav yishvil katan. Now Shammai Azakein himself was of the opinion that an infant, the smallest infant, who's a boy, is chayv in Sukkah. And so, what happened is one time his daughter-in-law gave birth and he himself opened up part of the roof over the bed to put schach over it so that the infant would be in a Sukkah. So Shmamina Asu. So what do you see? You see that as far back as Shammai himself, they did continue to practice their own position, and they did not work for a consensus. The answer is no. Hatam haroa omar lafushe avir ka'avi. No, because there the only concern is, after all, let's cut to the chase. What is the real problem with Asu? The problem with Asu is that anybody looking at it sees like there's two Torot. People are practicing two different ways. But as we saw yesterday with the issue of Malach on Erev Pesach, here, if somebody sees that he's opening up some of his roof, all they think is he wants to get some more air into the sukkah. That's fine. It doesn't automatically prove that he's holding some other position, which of course you cannot explain something like that with the tzarot, where whatever you do is a clearly defined act that you're holding one position and rejecting the other. There was a pipe called Shoket Yehu. They had in Yerushalayim. By Tani Kuvah leMikvah, it went from one mikvah to another, went into the mikvah. Chol Tarot Yerushalayim Nosu Algav Nasim Algavah. This is a pretty important mikvah because all the Tarot in Yerushalayim were nitbaler. V'shalchal Beit Shammai v'rechivu, and Beit Shammai sent messengers, and they went and they widened the hole between that went from one part of the mikvah to the other. Remember, we had this case about Shofar Tanod, the width of Shofar Tanod. Beit Shammai says that the piping going between, going into a mikvah from one mikvah to another to connect them, has to be very wide. And the Mishnah says in mikvot that if you have two mikvot and you have a pipe going between them, it has to be as wide as Shofar Tanod. We have this in the Chagiga, right? But enough for two fingers to go back and forth. Right, so Beit Shammai sent the message, you better widen that too. So that means that they were saying, our position is still holding, and we're not going to accept the tarot that are done, because as far as we're concerned, that mikvah isn't good, because the pipe leading into the mikvah from the other mikvah that together makes it 40 sa'ah is too narrow. The answer is, Shwamina Asu. Now, Hatam Haroa Omer Lafushin Maya Hudikavi. That doesn't prove anything, because somebody seeing them widen the pipe is just going to say they're widening the pipe, because the pipe's too narrow. They won't know that they're widening the pipe because of a machloket. In other words, what the upshot of this entire sugya seems to be at this point is the problem with asu is twofold. One problem with asu is where there is mutually exclusive positions. Where mutually exclusive positions, asu, meaning Beit Shammai continue to maintain their own position, means that there is no ability to coexist, because what this one says yay, this automatically says nay, and vice versa. The other problem of asu is, even though one may be inclusive of the other, in other words, one position may just automatically be stricter, and everyone could adopt the stricter position, and that would be a standard everyone could live with, nonetheless, it looks like there's two Torot. So wherever the observer would not come to that conclusion, because he would say, yeah, he's opening the sukkah for more air, he's opening the pipe for more water, there we don't have that second concern. So, if Yetzal Shem, we will continue. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos, and Chodesh Tov.